Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdio Gabaza, and for today, we extend a conversation that we've had on a number of occasions that is around Apple, around artificial intelligence, and not Apple intelligence, AI. And we're just going to be chatting about that intersection between AI and the human resourcing aspect of businesses. You know, that's what we're going to be talking about today. To a platform that is using AI as a way to improve, you know, that HR and job application process. And then we're also going to be talking to a business that is actually using this platform, you know, just to see what some of the practicalities are. So to unpack things, we are joined by Sai Govender. He is the founder and CEO of Blue Pearl, and he's just going to be giving us some insight into what's happening there. They are a cloud solutions and ICT resourcing specialist company, and they've actually have something that they call the Blue App, and we're just going to get an understanding of where, you know, that cloud and ICT resourcing is intersecting with HR. And then we're also going to be chatting with Nicole Adrians, who is a business executive for data and analytics over at technology company Ioco. Some people might know it by its former name, that is EOH, and we're just going to get a sense of what's going on there. To begin things off, Sai, maybe we can start with you because, you know, founder and CEO on the Blue side of things. What's the elevator pitch, you know, for your company, and then, you know, where is the intersection when it comes to what some people might just term as HR?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So Blue Pearl is a business that's about a decade old, founded in 2013. My background is I'm a chartered accountant by trade. I got into IT in 2008 and formed Blue Pearl in 2013. Fast forward to 2025, our main service offerings are cloud services. Here we partner with AWS, IBM, and a number of other hyperscalers to be able to deliver that service. We also do some software and app development, and ICT resourcing is another business and service line of ours. We built the Blue App around 2019, late 2019. It came into existence around 2020. And the idea around Blue App was to simplify the recruitment process. And it was to simplify the recruitment process by matching a job description to candidates' resumes, evaluate the skills, and do that as fast as possible. We're using AI technology to be able to do that matching. So Blue Pearl is committed to transforming recruitment, obviously through the power of AI. Our broader vision is to empower organizations to hire smarter and more effectively. Our platform impact goes beyond quick placements, right? Our AI-driven product enhances the entire recruitment workflow. We're helping companies find people who are not only qualified, but are truly aligned with the role and the company's culture. And we do this with a number of technologies, particularly related to IBM. We've built our matching engine on IBM's Watson platform using LLMs and Watson AI Studio Build to be able to analyze structured and unstructured HR data, including job descriptions and resumes, as I mentioned previously. So our automatic job description generator is capable of producing highly specific, relevant job postings tailored to the unique needs of various organizations. We're leveraging IBM Granite, a tool for advanced analysis and created job matching engine that aligns with the candidate's credentials and job criteria. Now, these technologies from IBM have really helped us and assisted us with improving the matching. When we first launched Blue in 2020, our effective matching capability was around about 38%. By using IBM and Watson and the Watson products within that ecosystem, we've increased that to now 86% matching effective capability, and it's done within seconds. So IBM products have really helped us to improve the product itself and allowed customers to get the benefit of that. As it stands today, Blue, which is the application and the platform that we've built, we have over about 526 consultants that are online on the platform. We have 104 consultants that have been placed at client sites, and we've sold over 575,000 hours to date on the application itself.
All right. It does sound like there's a lot that's going on the platform, and at least we can see how you guys are leveraging, you know, that particular platform, how you've been able to, you know, take your initial offering and then, you know, take that on when it comes to, you know, the HR function. And one of the things that I was keen, you know, as you were talking about, you know, the use of the IBM platform and all of that stuff, one of the points as a follow-up I wanted to get from you, Sai, is very quickly why you think, you know, maybe IBM's tools, you know, have worked very well for this type of application that you have, as opposed to, you know, maybe something else down the line, or do you use any other models, you know, behind, you know, this particular application?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So IBM tools, as I mentioned previously, we've built the initial matching engine on a Java-based platform. And it had, while Java was exceptionally good at that point in time, it had a lot of restrictions. And one of the restrictions was, how do we automatically upload a customer's resume or a candidate's resume? And when we looked at that is, resumes come in all different formats. We know this, right? And we could not get a model that worked, that catered for all resumes across the board. So the extraction of that information was quite challenging. And that information is used to match against the job specification. So by using IBM products like IBM Watson AI, it allowed us to systematically go in, look at a multitude of candidates' resumes in different formats, extract that information and populate that information into the Watson data side of things and into a database. And that structured database allowed us to match both structured and unstructured data to the job specification, thereby matching that, ensuring that matching capability was more effective, more operational, and more efficient in terms of end clients.
All right. That I think that makes sense from that point of view. Nicole, I want to bring you in here as someone who's dealing with data and analytics. There's something that I've heard in the past, and I think it speaks to what Sai is talking about. And maybe you could give us a sense of some of the pain points that you guys were facing from an Ayoko point of view, and how, you know, Blue Pearl has been able to help you guys. Is that I've actually heard that one of the reasons why a lot of people tend to not even get acknowledgement when they submit a CV is that a lot of the time their CVs are simply in the wrong format, or in a format that whatever piece of software is parsing, the applications can't even read, you know, something like that. If you have a giant picture of yourself as a cover page, you know, as opposed to maybe fields that have your name, your surname, and that type of thing, then before we even go anywhere, you're almost chucked to the sides. Firstly, is that true? And then secondly, obviously, the pain points that, you know, Blue Pearl has been able to help you guys with.
Yeah, I think certainly there's many theories as to why candidates are not successful today in terms of their aspirations to become more employable and more attractive. And I think really the Blue app is a prime example of how technology has transformed one of the oldest support functions within business by being faster, more efficient, and data-driven. And that's to your point. It's around using data to make decisions instead of using, you know, qualitative inputs or what somebody looks like and if they'll meet the job brief on those criteria. So before I dive into, you know, how Blue App has actually assisted us and supported a more faster and efficient process, I wanted to share the types of problems that we as Ayoko face in South Africa and Africa at large. So as a technology service provider who is known for efficient delivery, to uphold that type of reputation, it means we have to attract and retain key talent to meet those demands. And the reality is that we have a challenge here with scarcity of skills. We have long-running hiring processes and inconsistent experience for candidates. And this is all threatening our ability to meet our client demands. So we also have to depend on an active database of talent. And often these candidates don't stay on the market long. And so tracking them down, wasting precious time in finding out if they're still available is also contributing to those long-running processes. So we naturally turn to our partner ecosystem to support us in this, and this is when Bluepearl provided us with that solution in the Blue app, which is essentially a CV screening and candidate matching solution for us. So as Sai mentioned, Blue app uses an AI algorithm to be able to swiftly analyze large volumes of CVs, extracting relevant skills, experiences, and qualifications to match candidates with job specifications accurately. From time to time, we provide our various partners with a specification, and to be able to match that to a successful candidate is becoming increasingly difficult, especially with the additional criteria that we now add to the process. So with the Blue app, you know, within a period of providing a job brief to a successful candidate in place was 6 days, which is phenomenal in terms of the turnaround time. And this candidate is actually still on contract with us. So it was all around a successful process.
All right. Just as a quick follow-up to what you're saying, right? That relationship with Blue app, does Sai come, you know, to Ayoko and say, hey, we think we can help you with something like this? Or to your earlier point just now where you had this list of problems that you've just outlined now, and then you go out to the market and try to find maybe the best solution or the best thinking that can help you with those solutions?
Yeah, it's a great question, because actually Bluepearl has been part of the Ayoko partner ecosystem for some time. We have several years of experience of working together. And so it made sense with our complementary services to reach out to our network to ask if there was any types of solutions in development or in existence that could help us with this process. And that is when Bluepearl said, actually, we've been working on something. And as I explained, they've had success in the recruitment process using it themselves. And so it was a bit of an experiment between partners and where we could utilize this process more efficiently and basically leverage the outcomes jointly.
All right. It certainly sounds like at least there are some great synergies that you guys were able to, you know, come up with. You've got, you know, one of the long established IT companies in the country. You've got someone who's in your, you know, partner network. They're already developing something, and it's a very easy 1+1, you know, to get to where you guys are now. Very keen to understand, Sai, where you guys are now in the process. You've got, you know, a great testimonial like, you know, someone like Nicole who can come and evangelize it to say, actually, yes, these guys, this is a great solution, and things are out there. But how do you see a platform like Blue App being able to either grow, expand, or maybe tap into, you know, maybe other networks? Or do you see yourselves, you know, perhaps first doubling down on maybe servicing maybe your existing partner network, and then you then move outside of it? How do you see yourselves, you know, moving, and how have you moved so far?
Yeah, so that's a good question as well. So, and just to take a step back, the reason actually Blue App was created was because internally in Bluepearl, we were having a problem. And that problem was we were getting job specifications from clients, and we were finding that we needed to hire a team to look at the specification, look at the resume, and do all the matching. And so I came up with the idea in 2020 to build something that would at least shorten down the shortlisting process, you know, of resumes. And when we launched it, We launched it with the intention of using it internally, but it gained so much attraction. Some of the clients that are currently using Blue App today is IBM. We're using it to service IBM directly with a supplier to IBM, Deloitte, Accenture. We have the intention of Blue App growing into an Uber-type platform. And what I mean by that is Uber has a rider and a driver, and we're looking at Blue App being a fully SaaS-based platform that has a consultant and a company looking for a consultant, and they can both meet on the Blue App, and the process is synergized from that perspective. We're looking at Blue App growing significantly over the next 12 months. We're bringing on about 7,500 consultants onto the application. We have about 35 clients that are using Blue App. The intention in the next 12 months for that to go to at least double. We're estimating about 90 to 100 customers joining us on Blue App over the next 12 months. So we have a strategy in mind. We're also looking at some global representation. We have offices in Sydney, Dubai, and we recently incorporated in North America. We've exposed Blue App in those areas, and we're getting some significant focus and traction coming through as well from those different locations.
I'm keen to get your sense on perhaps being part of that IBM ecosystem, you know, to say because the Watson AI and, some of their other platforms, these are some of the latest platforms. What's the extent of the relationship before that, right? Before you reach, Watson AI, were you already, either making use of other platforms or already, in the IBM ecosystem in that way already? Or, was that entry point, I guess, the AI piece? Yeah.
No, that's an interesting one, right? And it's fundamental. It's fundamental to, we've been transacting with IBM from 2019 already. We were inducted into the ESD program in 2019 and then into the TechScale program in 2023. We transact with IBM on three different levels. One, we're a partner to IBM. We're a silver business partner to IBM, particularly related to Watson or the data and AI space. We're a supplier to IBM, and we've been on the IBM TechScale program. They've been instrumental in us growing as a company, Blue Pearl growing as a company, and then providing the various technologies available for us to enhance Blue App. Like the TechScale program, when we were inducted into the TechScale program in 2023, this allowed us to get exposure to Watson and to the client engineering team from Prototype, the customers as well.
One of the things that I was interested to then know is, just this one is just the last one before I come back to I come back to Nicole, is when you are part of, some of these programs, right? I guess I'm just thinking about it from an ecosystem point of view and also just a development point of view, because there are a lot of programs that are like this. Some people seem to have mixed reviews when it comes to being part of ESD programs and that type of thing. But you seem to have done well, being, part of something like that. What's the right approach, right? Do you get in there saying, I'm going to make the most connections, I'm going to make, use of all the technology platforms that, an IBM or some other vendor can, can give to me? Is it access to market? Like, what is it exactly do you think that drives the success of a program like that?
Yeah. Another very interesting question. And ESD programs, some of them have been called tick box exercises. And we've heard that in the past.
Yes.
IBM's yes. ESD programs are very different. The one thing to note, it has to be mutually beneficial, right? So it has to benefit both parties.
Yeah.
And but the other thing is that IBM provides things like design thinking. They provide their engineering expert teams to help you. They provide cloud credits that can allow you to play with these platforms, integrate these platforms without incurring cost. They give you resource capacitation. So their programs, it's We've been on two or three programs, and I must admit, IBM is the best, has been the best one, purely because there's access to market. They give you the ability to expose your company, expose what you're doing to their customers. They give you the opportunity to expose your service offerings within their ecosystem. They give you the ability to expose your offerings within other tech scale cohort representatives as well. So I think with that 360 honed in approach from an ESD program perspective, it really helped us to grow as a business, to take advantage of the options. When I say take advantage, you've got to be able to stand up and take advantage. When IBM says, listen, we need you at a meeting because we've got a few clients and customers in the room, you don't say, I'm going to think about it. You say, what time? And I'm going to be there an hour before that, right, to make sure you're taking full advantage of it. So I think the program has been exceptional in terms of market access, in terms of technology capability, and transferring those skills over to my team as well. And then helping us with resource capacitation has been exceptionally good experience with IBM. Yeah.
All right, cool. Now, it's always good when we hear of such success. It's one thing to talk about the technology itself, but it's quite something else being able to develop a model around it that firstly ensures sustainability of your business, that ensures growth, that gives you access to market, but also allows you to be able to develop that technology beyond a simple proof of concept and be able to take something into the market. So Nicole,
do you mind if I just add something onto that, right? Because
sure.
Yeah, when we started with IBM on the ESD program in 2019, there was six people in the company at that point in time, right? And we were only incorporated in South Africa. Today, Blue Pearl we have a team of 120 people. We're in seven different locations globally: Sydney, Dubai, Kenya, Botswana, Nigeria, Mauritius, and recently incorporated into the US. Blue Pearl has grown really from a SME business to an SMB business. And that's because of, or largely because of, the IBM ESD programs. Sorry, I just wanted to add that one.
No. Understood. And I think that really helps us, to bed down that point about that effective ESD and that type of thing. Nicole, as I was about to say, I wanted to take a step back, to say we've been focusing a lot of this conversation around the use of AI, in HR, right? And I wanted to say, just from a pure data and analytics point of view, over the last couple of years, there's been a lot that's been said about companies trying to wrap their heads around ingesting a lot of data, but putting it in forms that become useful enough that you can actually get actionable insights and take and make actual business decisions through it. In this particular instance, we're talking about taking a bunch of resumes and CVs and being able to run that through a set of criteria around certain positions, and then being able to help with the recruitment process, right? But do you see, because one of the things that I noted that Sai mentioned about the use of Watson AI is that you could take data and lots of formats and that type of thing and still be able to ingest it and, make use of it, make sense of it, and then make use of it. Do you think AI is subsuming the need to properly structure data for companies, or do you still think that companies still need to go through and do that hard work of cleaning out data, of parsing out data in a proper way, like just on a fundamental basis?
Yes, I think, this is extremely relevant in my industry and the kind of work that we're doing with our customers. We have a lot of customers who are ready for AI, but their data is not. And the reason I say that is because there is a reliance on data to have successful AI projects and initiatives. And so absolutely the need for structured and unstructured data is more relevant today than ever before. We have tools now that are able to ingest data of any forms to Sai's point, tools such as IBM, that they have evolved the products that you are now able to ingest data in any format available. Could be pictures, sound, structured data sources, unstructured data sources, large volumes of data, you know, sitting on multiple different platforms, such as social platforms and community platforms. So today, our technology has really evolved to a point of there is no more restriction on the kind of data that you can ingest to be able to make use of it. But what we do see, especially in large enterprises, is that there's a tool for everything. At the moment, you know, there's really a tool for every type of problem that you may have, but those tools aren't necessarily scalable. So for an enterprise type customer, the ability to be able to take a tool that has been developed in perhaps a startup or an industry such as a startup industry may not be feasible to be able to scale that at an enterprise level, because now you've got things like governance and access to data and security that needs to be applied and policy that needs to be applied. So that's where the challenge comes in and how you would essentially implement tools and AI solutions within the organization. So to go back to your point around the importance of data and ingestion, I'm still a believer in starting and laying down solid foundations to be able to springboard and leverage that for your future ambitions. Too often we kick off on a POC and we discover that the data is not going to be able to satisfy the needs of the solution. And so it means we have to stop the project, we have to go back to basics, we have to rebuild the foundation in terms of the data, structured and structured and unstructured. And secondly, we need to build in the governance as well. That is often also forgotten about and is something that is not thought about early on, and there's very little investment in the governance, and it's something that our customers learn a little bit later down the line that it was so crucial and important to be able to scale.
All right. Sai, your take on the same question?
Yeah, so just to leverage off Nicole's point, the last point, particularly around governance, right? And when we are building Blue, we had to make note of the fact that we're collecting a lot of personal information here. And PopPR was coming into play, and then GDPR was coming into play as well. And this is where we heavily leveraged off. We looked for what's available out there in the market to be able to help us with this particular point around governance. And Watson, and part of the Watson or IBM Watson platform, is something called Watson Governance. And that really helps you to streamline your protection over your data, especially data collected where we call them customers or contractors or people are giving you the freedom of accessing that information and ensuring that that information is protected. And Watson and its stack and Watson Governance allows you to do that and do that effectively.
All right. It's actually quite funny that we've gone down this route of the governance aspect, because I remember I have a couple of people in my circles that actually specialize in governance, risk and compliance, GRC, and they've actually said to me, IBM probably has some of the best platforms in the world, when it comes to GRC. So I guess I can now, take it at face value that they weren't lying to me, because I'm hearing it, once again now, from other people, around that aspect. Outside of governance, Nicole, anything else that perhaps we can highlight that enterprises, especially corporates, need to be thinking about when it comes to making their data, their data sets AI ready? Like you said, a company might be ready for AI, but their data might not be.
Yeah, I think one of the things I should have mentioned earlier is around trust in the data. So very importantly, organizations need to, from, you know, ground up, is to establish a respect for data in the organization and to build a trust model around the usage of data. So that's really important as a cultural element. And then I really want to make a point around the type of projects and initiatives that our clients are embarking on. It really is important to understand the motivations behind the types of projects that they embark on. You know, what is the problem that you're actually trying to solve? And I think that often that gets overlooked in terms of evaluating these initiatives around a problem that needs to be solved versus really just riding that hype cycle and being trendy and adding an AI project, because that's currently what everybody's talking about.
And I think that's very important, because I feel like November 2022, you know, ChatGPT comes into effect, and then now everyone and their cat is talking about AI. Obviously, artificial intelligence has existed for, you know, a long time before that, but now, you know, you almost have to be seen to talk about this stuff and to have plans around it for you to be taken seriously, you know, in many, what you call this, in many different respects. So at least it's always good to look at it from what you're saying, have a sober mind about it, right? Is it really necessary? And if we're going to do it, how do we ensure that we're doing it properly and in a way that actually adds value, you know, to what's actually happening in our business or in the what you call this, in the wider industry. Where I want to end off today's discussion is just around where we are now, and I guess where we move to, and I guess we can maybe confine it, you know, so that we don't wander off too far, you know, into the clouds, is to just confine it around where we've located today's discussion around HR and AI, recruitment processes, employee data, all of that stuff, to say, how do you guys see things evolving from this point? Because today we just spoke about, you know, just the recruitment piece of, you know, the project. Where else or how else, you know, is AI being used, you know, around whether it's employee data, whether it's employee management, the employee journey, whatever it is, you know, around that. Nicole, I'll start with you and then we can end off with Sai.
Yeah, I think from what we've been talking about for the last 20 minutes, it's really a testament to how technology is transforming the business landscape. And so for me, leveraging tech and AI in one part of the process has already opened doors for a far richer experience for stakeholders in the recruitment process, and allows for innovation and improvements, I guess, in other areas that can now get that attention. So looking forward into the future, we could look at enhancements such as sourcing from social platforms, from professional networks, to identify and reach out to potential candidates that may not have been actively seeking new roles, but it's also broadening our talent pool in that way. You know, there is so many other uses for improving and leveraging AI for our back office operations. And why we want to be able to do this is to be able to augment the human beings that are performing these functions today, to free them up from those processes so they can actually be more innovative in their current roles. Which is why, for me, it's quite key to not to look at AI as a potentially something to take over their jobs, but actually something that could enhance their existing roles.
Mm-hmm. Nicole, very quickly, am I understanding you correctly, especially on the widening the pool part, that who knows, one day maybe some of these AI platforms, a blue app or something else, could help to highlight, you know, to say, hey, Ayoko, you might not be in the market for Mudiwa, but have you seen what he's doing over there? Perhaps it's
absolutely
a good time to headhunt him.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, we need to be a lot more innovative in how we find talent in the market. The talent may not be looking for you, but certainly we need to become a little more creative in how we find talent.
All right, cool. Sai, your take on the future of HR and AI?
Yeah, look, it's revolutionary, right? I think when you speak about AI and what it's doing currently in the landscapes, in recruitment, like just to give you an idea, we're currently working on a profile augmentation module that's going to sit in Blue App. And that's going to allow you to pull data from LinkedIn in terms of certifications and badges that you've completed. And speaking to your point, allow that to be presented to potential customers that maybe want to utilize those services. Our data and AI business in the last 12 months has increased from 6% to 12%. We're expecting you to go to 20% in the next 9 months or so. The biggest space we're seeing AI play a pivotal role is in customer relationship management. And with your various chatbots and stuff available, that's allowing you to maximize your customer relationship management. It allows you to at least build a stronger pipeline, and it allows you to engage with your customers at a completely different level. We're seeing exceptional use cases in these areas. For example, we're seeing call centers being reduced from 100 people call center to a 20 person call center because they're using AI capability in those areas. And we're very proud to say we're at the forefront of some of those new things coming into the market. I think AI has got a massive role to play. I've heard something the other day. It says that AI is not going to replace people, but people utilizing AI are going to replace people. And I think that's extremely true in what's coming in the future.
Most certainly. And on that point, that's, I think, a good place for us, to land today's conversation. And interestingly, I've also heard, something similar, being said about, the people using AI being the ones that are best placed for something like that. So that's how we end off today's conversation. It has been great just talking about what's happening in the world of artificial intelligence as it pertains to the recruitment process, just talking about how AI is being used to turn, structured and unstructured data in that recruitment process to help and aid, in matching, the right profiles to what a company like Ayoko is, looking for. And Nicole was talking about how competitive, the tech talent ecosystem is, and that, it's in their best interests to make sure that they've got the best and brightest working for them. And part of it is making sure that, you're using some of these tools to actually, make sure that you're finding the people, but that they are well aligned, with the organization and, what the organization is trying to achieve. Also interesting to get a sense, from Sai as founder of, Blue Pearl, how they've been leveraging some of the IBM tools, to build something like the Blue App, how they were using it internally, some of the what came at the inception, what directed him to say, okay, fine, this is something that we can get into, and how they've used some of that experience in that IBM ecosystem and the ESD program to get to where they are right now. Sai giving us a sense to say that he sees that piece of the business, growing in the coming 9 months or so, but he also sees huge opportunity when it comes to something like customer relationship management, because there's so many data sets that can be taken from there. Someone like Nicole just giving us a sense to say data is still very important, and a lot of organizations still need to do the work to make sure that their data and data sets are appropriate and structured in a good enough way that the artificial intelligence tools can actually help them to create value. So that's been it. We were chatting with Nicole Adrians, who is from Ayoko, as well as Sai Govender. He is from Blue Pearl. Team, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Modiwa.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.